Welcome to the Fat Fuel Family Podcast, where every week Danny and Maura Vega discuss topics that help families live a healthy and active lifestyle with their little ones, including nutrition and training, peaceful parenting, education, and mindset. To stay up to date, make sure to hit subscribe on this podcast and check out the blog at www.fatfuel.family. You can also find them on Facebook and Instagram at dannyvega.ms, at fatfueledmom, and at fatfueledkids, and Fat Fueled Family on YouTube. Enjoy the show.
Welcome to the Fat Fuel Family Podcast. I'm your host, Danny Vega, and I'm joined by my fashion model wife. How are you, my love?
My fashion model.
Yeah, of course you are. You model fashion every day.
I actually do.
And now I'm good. I'm a fashion icon now.
You are.
I am.
You totally are. You're the next big fashion icon.
I'm the next Mugatu, like the guy from Zoolander. So we're having a lot of fun. We are slowly but surely crawling out from under a very heavy burden of just months of busyness and just a bunch of stuff. But
yeah, I think, yeah, we're just trying to get our head above water, guys.
Yeah. So thanks for still listening. But no, we got a good show. This was a conversation we had with Nicholas Zahasky. Nick is a really interesting dude, and I met him a while back, and we just had to have him on to have some interesting conversations. He's hard to find. You know, this is, he is definitely doing a lot of things to protect his sovereignty, and we talk about spiritual sovereignty. But first, let me introduce you to him. So, a lifelong gastronome and once corporate executive chef, Nick has launched, run, and developed and redeveloped restaurants and food service programs in Nevada, California, Iowa, South Dakota, and Minnesota. He's cooked for many elite figures such as Madeleine Albright, Michael Pollan, Arun Gandhi, Waylon Jennings, the King and the Queen of Norway, and Pfeiffer Fighting, along with independent contracting for the Bulletproof executive, Dave Asprey, and the elite primal hacker, Thaddeus Owens. In 2011, Nick retired from his executive chef role and ditched the corporate lifestyle to pursue a journey in self-improvement, emotionally and physically leading to what he calls being human, optimization coaching, and shortly after training many others who sought him out. The study of self-improvement through control of his environment, nutrition, and functional fitness. He began racing for the first time with his newfound energy, strength, and passion, and began to consistently win national obstacle course races and competitions. Quickly becoming a public figure and personality for paleo nutrition and ancestral health. In 2016, Nick designed and launched GASP, Gas Paleo, and Beguilement to bring more awareness and accessibility to ancestral nutrition, providing in-home culinary and retreat experiences centered on local farm to fork, foraged and seasonal eating aligning with our genetics. Using biohacking ideology and cooking practices he calls the low-impact method to improve the quality of the food and its availability. There are four pinnacle pillars Nick believes each person can begin to implement independently, then together to create massive life-altering impact. The frame of BHOC is a study in optimizing our environment, resiliency, nutrition, and movement. All humans have a primal instinct which allows them to recognize patterns of behavior and movement. It's his goal to help them tap this primal identity into being human. So guys, this was a great conversation that we had. We got into some of the current events that have been happening over the last year, and really just hope that this leads you to look into some of the stuff that Nick talks about, and we hope you enjoy the show.
Enjoy, guys.
Hey everybody, I just wanted to take a quick minute to talk about our sponsor, Keto Brick. As you guys know, I have been around since the very beginning when it was just an idea, when Robert was getting ready for the show that took him pro and he needed something to help him hit his macros. And I've seen it grow into the company it is today. Just so proud of my friend, and I'm so proud of the company he's built, the people he's been able to help, as he has several people who work for them. And so he's actually helping people make a living doing this now, which is just unbelievable and so inspirational to me. If you don't know what keto bricks are, they are are shelf-stable fat bombs, for lack of a better term. They are 1,000-calorie bricks, and they have great ingredients. They have ketogenic macros, usually like 88 to 90 grams of fat with 30 grams of protein, and then the carbs are anywhere from 9 to 14. Super low carb, super keto-friendly, and you can do all types of cool stuff with them. I tell everybody my favorite is Keto Brick cereal. I chop it up into little chunks and serve it with a bowl of cereal with almond milk or goat milk, which is my favorite. They have several flavors. They now have vegan and whey options. So they have the whey protein peanut butter as well as the old school pea protein peanut butter, which either one of them is easily in my top two. Go back and forth between those and the toasted almond coconut. So definitely go to www.ketobrick.com, get yourself some bricks, and use Vega for a chance to win a whole month supply of bricks.
How are you?
Good. I'm good. And yourself? You as well. Thanks for having me.
Of course. We've been looking forward to it, Deanie's. I know we tried to do it. Didn't we try to do this one?
Yeah, we tried to do it. Was it last week or 2 weeks ago?
Oh, yeah.
Okay. Yeah, it was a couple times, but I had technical difficulties. And
he didn't have internet. Like, there was lots of issues.
That's crazy.
Yeah.
Okay, I'm going to send this to you just in case you can have it, my love. But yeah, dude, this is my partner.
Awesome. How long have you been doing this together then?
The podcast?
Mm-hmm.
How long is it? Like 3 years?
It was
that,
August of 2018.
Yeah. That's wild. Almost 3 years then.
We're about to hit it'll be
that's
3 years
crazy.
Of the business here. I'm going to, why isn't this, you know what? I'm just going to text it. So yeah, man, we have a blast, dude. It's the best. Like,
yeah,
throughout the years, like, there's been times when we've been arguing and then we get on air and it's like, kind of resolves itself, you know?
Because, like, after that, you're like, I'm going to go back to being mad now. Like, it's so dumb.
It's over.
I'm like, what am I going to do? Just be mad for no reason?
But just remember, this is the guy that I told you that when I was at Hip Hop, that we spoke for like an hour.
Oh.
He's had like a CSO.
Crow, what is it?
He's the one who introduced me to Crow.
I need to get on that for sure.
Dude, I've been telling her forever.
I know.
She's the one who introduced me to Owen Benjamin, believe it or not.
The one that's always telling him everything is fake. I'm like, that's fake.
That's good.
I'm there already. I'm like, yeah, no, I've always known it. And now it's just confirmed. Like, it's I always suspected it.
It's good to have a partner that keeps you grounded, right?
Yes.
Yeah, dude.
Totally. Oh my gosh. That's and these days, good. I can't even imagine, like, if you were
asleep.
Yeah. Making me wear masks or something.
Oh my god! Imagine.
I'd be out of here. I'd be like,
head of
I gotta
the household
breathe, okay,
supposed to lead her, supposed
oh
to lead
gosh.
My family, and I'm leading
it.
Them
I
to
can't.
Slavery.
I can't.
And he has like
I see it all over my community, man. Everywhere
you're
you go,
Minnesota, right?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, so he's in Minnesota. And his new thing is Rebel Breath. So that's kind of like your new moniker.
Oh, I love that, Rebel Breath. Yeah, because you're, I mean, breathing is a serious act of rebellion.
Yeah, totally.
You're a conspiracy theory.
Yeah.
I just want to breathe.
They just want us dead right now. So everything that they can do to take away our spirit is
exactly
what's happening, right?
Exactly.
So, yeah, this is
I know.
Crazy.
It's like a bad but a good thing because it's like you almost need this kind of stuff. People need to be shaken.
Yeah,
you know, even just from this whole last year, I have so many friends that have changed their mind, like completely drastically changed their mind, like from one camp to the completely the other, just because their eyes were open. They were like, oh wow, like this is really a thing.
And then if you continue doing the work, then you realize there are no two camps.
Yeah, there's no two camps. There's nothing. Everything is fake.
Everything designed to be true.
Yeah.
Like, it's just another tool to just
divide but like for
us.
Everything, you know, like all the stuff, like especially with the vaccines.
Oh yeah.
Yeah.
That one for sure.
I have friends that are and past clients that are still on the fence of blue and red, right? So,
Yeah.
Yeah, like they think it matters. Mm-hmm.
They're woke to a point And we have these really wonderful conversations that align with that. But I'll have to be kind of careful because I've called them out on it and I've pissed them off. And they don't talk to me for a while. But this is. this is the era of what we reap, we will sow. If you ever listen to Levitt, that's kind of the whole thing. And we are in the aeon of the year, the time of Aquarius. And so everything that moving forward right now, everything that we say, everything that we do, every interaction that we have is 100% an energetic currency exchange. And
I agree.
He's a call me. I say, hey man, I'm gonna get the experimental vaccine, and I'm gonna be your guinea pig. I was like, hey, you're literally saying that to the wrong guy.
Yeah, you're totally sheep, the wrong person.
And I don't care. Don't tell me again. And so it was like 3 weeks go by. I don't even want to hear it.
Yeah. Like when my family does it, I'm like, why do you tell me? Lie to me. I'm like, don't even tell me that you got that thing, because then I'm gonna be angry.
Yeah.
I'm upset at you.
Yeah.
And that's kind of where we have to like back up a little bit because it's their journey.
It is.
You know, and that is, they came, I had this amazing breath journey, and I told Danny about this, where I saw what we were and how we are seated in the stars and how we get to come back and we get to do this whole recycling thing. But when we're here, we're kind of running through, and our only goal is to open the pineal glands of many people as we can, not in the way of proselytizing, but just through truth. And this is what they signed up for. This is their journey, and everything that we keep redoing in our life that is a bad pattern or a habitual traumatized aspect, like we keep living that out, then, you know, we're going to just keep being recycled into this same life over and over and over. And wherever you fall on the spectrum of religious or spiritual belief, every one of those categories or religions has an aspect of reincarnation, you know. And I'm eternal to that life. Point of eternal life, right?
We are eternal beings.
Oh my gosh, that was so funny. Did you hear Owen Benjamin the other day talking about like why babies cry? Because you're like back again, and you're like,
no.
So he says like the reason babies cry, he's like convinced that they're like, we're all back again, because like nope, try again. Like you didn't get it done. And so they're like, no, we're back again.
You know, there's one that blows my mind. There's one that blows my mind that I haven't spoken. I would like to get your thoughts on it. We're already recording, so we're just going.
We might as well just go.
Put this in there. Yeah, no, absolutely. So like, you know, we are eternal beings. There's no question about it. Like this little meat suit, you know, at the most 100 years, whatever, and then you're gone. And then you go back to wherever it is. And I thought that it was so profound to hear. There's this one letter that this guy wrote into him, and he said, you know, could it be that because we are eternal beings right now, because time is not linear, we are with our loved ones. We are already with all the people that have ever, you know, they're not waiting for us. We're here now. This constrained version of ourselves is gonna be there, but we're already there because we're eternal,
right?
And when I thought of that, I was like, dude, that blows my mind, because like if that's true, then you know, somewhere in this time, however time works for real, I'm with my grandmother, my grandfather, my, you know.
Yeah.
What do you think about that?
So it's kind of two parts for me. So, and this is, it's going to be kind of long, but I'll try to keep it short.
Yeah, no, listen, go.
All right, so my best friend, One of them, I only have a few really good male friends, and this one, he happens to be Mormon, and he converted to Mormonism so he could quit doing some of the things that he was doing that were negative and destructive to himself. So I had I've traveled to Italy with him to do Strong First. So we've had a lot of time in the car and the planes to talk. We've traveled all over. So I finally, about 2 months ago, I asked him, so tell me exactly what the belief of the Mormon faith is, right? So he drew up this diagram for me. And we have, so a circle, there's a line, and then there's a box with a couple arrows, and then there's some levels past that. So what we have at the beginning is called pre-existence. It's white, right? So that's where in the Mormon faith, if anybody is Mormon and they're hearing this and I butcher it, I apologize. But So here's, so in that pre-existence, God and Yeshua, Jesus, they all existed there. We existed there, yeah. Right? And then that veil we had to come in to, so the coming down from that star journey I talked about, coming down and being recycled, and then we come into what now is our reality. And so we're living this life in this reality, trying to get to the afterlife into one of these levels. That is each one of these levels, the bottom two, they have three, and I'm pretty sure there's more like 11, like the Kabbalah says, you know.
Ooh, so interesting.
Right, so we have this first level, and then you're separated from God, but it's still a wonderful place. It's still the afterlife. Everything is beautiful. It's not Gehenna or hell or El, right? If you listen to Crow about that, you can understand.
Dude, El, that's crazy because it's God and hell at the same time. That's
right.
Crazy.
Right. So then, depending on where you're at, you can go to the next level and you're a little bit closer to God. And then when you get to the third level and final level there, that you are God, you are with God, you are the whole being in the existence. If you look at the artwork behind you, right, all those concentric circles, that kind of defines that, like the sun. And if you see that in the astrology, it's the circle with the center. So that is kind of the idea. And then as a child, I've always had this crazy dream, and there were night terrors. I don't know if they've ever experienced a night terror or somebody...
I've only heard about them.
So you're basically in this reality right now, asleep. So you're in the deepest levels of REM sleep, but you are conversing with the persons around you, and you're experiencing everything physically.
Wow.
So I've always had this one that was, you remember the old Pepsi commercial? And this is a long time ago, so I think we're around the same age. But
yeah.
It was the world. It was a piece of paper, and then it was crushed and it was all white, and they were talking about
I think I do remember that,
right? Yeah. But so I always had that night terror, what was the white, and I always had this thing about nuclear holocausts and nuclear bombs, just because of all the trauma that the things that my grandfather told me when I was growing up. And so then I was talking to this shaman at a biohacking retreat out in Florida with Thaddeus and Primal Hacker. And she told me about this experience that she had, and it was the white. And I was like, oh my God. Like, so I've had this since a child, the white. You experienced this out-of-body thing where you were afraid. And then we have the Mormon idea of these pre-existence. And I was like, holy crap, that's what we are. But we're all there. We always have been. We always will be. That is a Catholic idea, right? Always have, always will.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Now, don't get me into the occult thing of the Catholic.
Oh, dude, don't get me there too. That's like, I was blown away because a friend of mine who's not, we're Christian.
And, I was raised Catholic.
I was raised Catholic, mm-hmm. but I didn't do my confirmation. I just got my first communion. And then by the time I was 15, where I really connected was with a Protestant church. But, this guy is one of those people that quietly does his research on his own. You know, I've never proselytized to him myself, but I've always had these conversations. And it's usually like we're out at his farm and we're sitting by the fire. It's just me and him. And I couldn't believe it because he brought up the occult thing. And I was like, you're going that deep? I'm like, man. I mean, you don't have to go that deep. I mean, you literally just have to look at a few pictures and look at a few videos, connect a few dots. But there's so much. Yeah. That's a whole rabbit hole that maybe this one.
Yeah.
Maybe this episode we don't, but yeah, dude, but there's so much. Yeah.
My grandfather was a staunch Catholic, and he always said every other religion was a cult. And I was like, always blew my mind that he said that until to this time frame in life. And then I realized, well, he was right, but he was also practicing in an occult. I mean, come on, man. So, but you can't fault anyone that's going through this right now, or this is just the existence that we live in, and this is the realm, and it might be a matrix, it might be a holograph. I'm probably more certain that it's a holograph. And
a holograph.
But, you know.
Yeah, it's not the ultimate reality for sure.
No, but it is our reality, so we can make the best of it.
Yeah, yep.
That's where I'm at.
Love it.
Yeah. Well, we kind of did things out of order, but I still want to ask you our first question, which is, what is the most critical problem you are currently trying to solve?
So this one was really easy for me, but I'll just, you know, as a biohacker, they always trying to control our biology and do things that will create health and longevity. But one thing that they miss is understanding where they come from and why that's so important. So the biggest thing that I've been working on this year, especially since February, is sovereignty. And what is sovereignty? As a man, you know, a flesh and blood man or woman, right, that's such a big thing. And so where does your sovereignty begin? Does it begin with a set of laws given to you after your birth, or does it begin before that? Right? So everything that I've deduced for myself is it begins way before that. I would say, going back to the conversation of pre-existence, it was there. And then we come down and we have to then flex this sovereignty freedom muscle just because it's out of the act of natural law. So I tell my kids about natural law. That's something that we study all the time. And there's only one really big rule for me in natural law that sticks out, is thou shalt not steal. Because anything that you do to coerce another person is stealing. Right.
Yeah.
So that's the biggest thing. So sovereignty right now is, I've been working on that with Thaddeus and Primal Hacker and myself, and just going through as much as I can without making my head explode or getting that fear of not moving forward. And so that's what it's like.
Yeah, and I definitely want to come back to sovereignty, and we can even get into like some X's and O's, because you've done actual concrete stuff to reclaim your humanity, you know, and your podcast that you guys are starting up, you and Thaddeus, is Rehuman Us,
mm-hmm.
right? So,
I think we'll stick with that. I don't know. We'll see. Maybe it might be Primal Hacker, because everybody, he's got a bigger following than I do, but definitely that's a big key, because is in support of everything in human, and then that is man and woman being tethered to this earth. And so us, all of us. So like, how do we rehuman? How do we connect back to Mother Earth? And how do we move forward? And I'm kind of going off on a subject here, but the currency aspect of everything right now, and money-wise, I realize that if we don't have anything that we can give back to the earth, because before we had these large homes and that we did everything via computer or by our hands in a big, large corporate building, everything was us nurturing the earth. And that was the currency, and that gave back to us. And we're not doing that anymore. And so that's how we got to get back to. And I think that's going to happen sooner than later, unfortunately.
Yeah.
Yeah. And I just love the human aspect, because, you know, going from being a person to being a living human, and we'll get into that a little bit, but like the other thing is, like, everything that people are going through, everything that we're going through, there's a choice. And I think so many people forget that they have a choice. Like, they think they don't have a choice, and this goes for anything, a quote-unquote mandate, you know. Yeah. All these things, like, there are less and less nowadays, which is sad, but hopefully that swings back the other way. But there are less and less people who are proving, because, you know, you notice all of these things are the same old trick over and over and over and over and over. You have to get that. It's like what we talked about, like the farmers of, when we were on the phone, they farm your consent, you know, they're farming your consent. And I do not consent, you know. And I know that, you know, you nowadays people make fun of that. It's like, oh, I don't consent. Oh, but it's like you do have that choice. You always have that choice. And to some extent, like a lot of us are different levels of that, you know, because we still have, and this is why we're trying to get more and more independent, because we still have so many things that we depend on, and that screws up our sovereignty, because mm-hmm. we're still depending on things. So, mm-hmm. Gosh, I can't believe these kids. These kids are scared.
Oh my gosh, they're freaking insane for real. So they're wild.
Let's back
up. That's okay. Stuff.
Yeah, I know. It's like it's sweet. We're used to it. But let's back up a bit, man, because I love your backstory. You know, you were a chef. You did obstacle course races. You have your nonprofit. Can you kind of walk us through that so people can get to know you better?
Yeah. So my journey, literally, with all of this health and wellness, revolving around ancestral living, started out in Texas. I grew up, I was raised in West Texas, played a lot of West Texas football, Friday Night Lights. You guys are aware of that. That's exactly
my dad came to Odessa, straight from Cuba to Mexico to Odessa. So he lived there for 2 years. So,
all right. Yeah. So that's right. The area that I grew up and played football from eighth grade through graduation, and I suffered over 7 concussions. So we get to call those TBIs, right? I mean, they're pretty much traumatic brain injuries, because those are car wrecks that you're getting into. And so from my last one, that was my senior year, I suffered from great bouts of depression and seeing things, hearing things. And fast forward, you know, I went went to school for art, and I decided that's kind of not what I want to be doing. And I also went to school for veterinary medicine. I was like, that's not what I want to do, and I'd rather cook these things and take care of them. And so I was just kind of bouncing around, and I ended up in Iowa again. That's where all my family is from, and I met my wife there. And 4 months later, we got married, and we moved out to Las Vegas so I could go to culinary school. From culinary school, I still had all of these issues that I was dealing with in my health, and we started to have children. And by the time we got to our third child, my wife, all the things that we had done from our past started to add up, all that unhealthy living. And so she had a traumatic birth. Our third child was born at 24 weeks, and so he's only 2 pounds, 6 ounces. And it was an emergency C-section. So I had to change every style of the way I was living. I had to start cooking differently, you know, not as being an athlete and then getting into the culinary field full time. I was doing a lot of negative things to disrupt my health and my circadian rhythm. So you're under unnatural lights all day. You're going to work really early, no lights in there, and you're going all in on the caffeine and the cigarettes and just the really bad thing, drinking. So it just turned into this vicious cycle. And when she had this, our third child, I had to re-educate myself on myself, or who I was, basically. So I had to start cooking differently for her, because she had celiacs right after this. So with the traumatic birth, a lot of women will experience these things, because, I mean, you're cutting open the gut, right? I saw them, like, literally.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, it's bad. So after that, it was kind of a rebirth for myself. We moved from, I laugh because I have to tell the story. When we moved from Decorah, Iowa to Sioux Falls, this was the pivotal change in my whole journey. And I asked God to test me by fire. Don't ever do that unless you're ready for it. Mm-mm. So
I don't even pray for patience anymore. I'm like, nope.
But there's certain things that are, fire is also cleansing.
Yeah. Right? Yes.
So we went through a lot of things, and I'll speak candidly, and hopefully she won't kill me for this, but we had a lot of marital issues, and we had a lot of issues with our relationship and outside influences, if you will.
Mm-hmm.
And I was living away from her for a while, and the kids, while I was trying to work, and then we were in this this business. It was a multi-level marketing. We were making great money. All the proverbial crap hit the fan, and I decided I had to come home, and I quit my corporate job, and that's where the nonprofit came in. That year, one of my friends said, you know what you would really be into is obstacle course racing. And at this time, man, I've been out of the sports scene for like ever, at least 10 years. And so I went and ran, I 6 weeks of training, and I went and ran this obstacle course race. And I ended up like 18th place out of 3,500 people. But the last quarter mile of the championship round, I crawled through the mud crying. And the only reason I finished is because my kids and my wife were standing on the sideline, and I saw them crying because I was in pain. And so I just finished that race. And then that day on the way home, the kids were like, did you believe all the shoes that were being thrown away? I didn't care because I had twisted my ankle. I was ravaged, right? So we got home, and this thing was on my heart, and I just kept on praying about it, what I should do. And I was in the shower one day, boom, I popped out, and I created this nonprofit called Barrel Aid. And I traveled the next 5 years from East Coast to West Coast, collecting shoes at these races, racing all these races to raise awareness for a nonprofit.
Wow.
Traveled to Haiti over 4 times. Collected over 250,000 pairs of shoes, and sent out all these barrels for water collection in the area of Petite-Tivre in Haiti. And that's kind of like the whole, everything started with that, as like that idea of being tested by fire. And up to this day, I think I'm finally in the cleansing area, where like 2020 was a blessing, and I've been able to literally sit with all of the traumas that I have, all of the things that have come up. And then along that path, you know, I've got to meet amazing individuals. Like with Primal Hacker, I travel the world doing retreats, ancestral retreats, and teaching people how to eat. I think Sean Sherman and I got to work with him, the Sioux chef, literally about decolonializing food. And so if you don't know who he is, you should look at that up. But that's kind
is
of
this like is it that. Is it the same as like, you know, like food sovereignty, like getting away from, like getting back to like producing your own food and communities and things like that?
Yes and no. So he is an indigenous person from the Sioux tribe. And he is literally, you know, everything that has to do with colonialized food that is not harvested by people like himself, and how then to use that to create health. So I was really thinking that I was doing everything the right way because of paleo ancestral foods, right? Like eating like our ancestors. But we really, and I hate when I hear people say this, is that they're a nutrition expert, because we don't know jack about the human body, and we don't know jack about nutrition. We're just figuring it out as we go, just like doctors practicing medicine.
Yeah, they're practicing.
So that's what we're doing as well, but we're just trying to live these best lives that we can, and that's how I've just kind of pulled things from left field, right field, to do all of this. And it's kind of been blessed along the way to experience what it is to, you know, be a sovereign person, when now it's all adding up, because I've farmed, I've done all sorts of stuff. So that's in a nutshell. I mean, that was a big nutshell.
But no, it's great.
That's awesome. Where I've come from.
So yeah, now I'm right now, it's just 2020 as taken away all my business, quote unquote. But my business is really unschooling my kids, educating myself about sovereignty and food, and then educating myself on my past traumas and how to work through all that shadow work, so that, you know, whatever happens in this near future, that my I'm not recycled.
Yeah.
Yeah. So you and Thaddeus Owens are launching your new podcast called, or maybe not called, Rehumanist, right?
Yeah,
TBD soon. But, you know, tell us all about the areas of focus that you guys will be covering and what your vision is for the podcast.
So we actually, this is good that we're talking about this. We sat down Sunday and we went over this. And so we're, a big part of it is going to be sovereignty. And just the initial steps, how to get people just understand what it is, who you are, and then taking some necessary steps to get there. And then we're going to do just a little bit of biohacking tips, things that you can, you know, do to fix your circadian rhythm, kind of all the stuff that he teaches with light, water. And then we're going to end up maybe talking about a little bit of cryptocurrency. That's a big thing right now because you see the crypto, right, is encrypted. Everything right now in this world is encrypted, and we're just trying to decipher what it is. I believe that cryptocurrency is a big psyop, just like everything
I
that
agree.
Happened with 2008. And
I
so
agree. 100%.
How do we, if we're going to take part in this, because this is the new system of money, and it's all air terminology, everything like, just Ethereum, right? So everything is, how do we take advantage of this blockchain technology and then still stay sovereign and not be controlled by the powers that be?
The powers that be.
Well, I like the term control mind.
Yeah. Right?
So how do we not be controlled by the control mind? And on my phone, I have a Merkaba, and it says, I'm immune to the brainwashing. Like, I see through it. And etymology and words, the vernaculars that they use, means everything.
I mean, yep.
Those are the things that we're hearing. But on top of that is the symbology. Those are the things that we see that our body doesn't register. And those are the most impactful. And we've been inundated with those forever.
Yeah, I always laugh when it's just like, you just don't even know the half, you know, because like when someone is like, oh, that sounds ridiculous. I'm like, dude, it's so obvious. Like, language is such a weapon.
It is a weapon.
And information nowadays, like, that's the biggest thing is like, you know, all of us who are still plugged in, and we are very much plugged in. Unfortunately, we're trying to unplug, but it's a process. But like, you know, they have a profile for you. They know you better than you know yourself.
Mm-hmm.
And for you not to think that there's so much encoding that goes on with words and the roots and the suffixes and the, you know, and the numbers and everything. And it's everywhere. Like, we could spend a whole podcast just talking about this, like, absurd modern day examples of how language is used right in your face with everyday items, everyday subjects to sway you a certain way, to program you, to get you to believe a certain thing. And then it's like, if something's accepted as true, then there's no use in questioning it because it's just a truth already. So it's like, but then we're talking about something that's like five steps down the line, and no one even comes to the first step, that all of these things, all of these dominoes would fall if the first premise was found to be false. You know, it's kind of like the Bible says, if the roots are something like, if the roots are dirty or they're unclean, then the whole tree that springs forth is going to be unclean. And like, that's where we are now, where we're like far down the line on this little like perversion of reality.
Yeah,
exactly. That like, yeah, we haven't,
for a few generations.
And then there's some people that are like, okay, we need to cut off this branch. We need to cut off these little leaves. And I'm like, guys, the roots are bad.
Yeah.
The roots are really bad.
That's good.
So, I love the sovereignty thing, and I think that's so important. And I love that you guys, because they have like, are you guys going to keep the Latin stuff? You want to mention like the,
yeah,
like, yeah, talk about that, because I loved that, because that was a big learning thing for me. Like, Latin is like, oh, Latin's a dead language, you don't need to know it. And then I'm like, we're blessed because Spanish was our first language. So I've been able to understand Latin very quickly, easily with everything, but it's at the base of everything. And so talk about why you, because I was like, I was interested, like when you told me the things and I was like, I'm interested. Why did you choose Latin? So yeah, tell us a little bit about that.
So the more I got into sovereignty this year and law, my father's a lawyer. I didn't grow up around the man, so but maybe these things are passed on, right? Like, so there's certain
genetic memory. Yeah.
We get, yep. So it was once I started digging deep into this and listening to certain things and reading certain things, Latin is the root of everything, right? So it's the root word. So maybe it was changed or perversed at Babylon, right? In the Babel. And so everything changed, but this is still the root that we use. And so if we don't know those vernaculars, those terms, then we can easily be mind manipulated, right? So that was a big aspect for me to understand, because if we use a lot of the verbiage or the vernaculars that our teenagers use right now, we'll literally all be retarded. And people, my kids got mad, like, Dad, you can't say retarded. And I was like, do you know what that means? It's a scientific term, and it means to be slow.
Yes.
Right? The process is slowed down. It has nothing to do with a person. That was changed. Right? Right. They put that label on that child or that being. And now, so that was the reason. So spiritum is all about the breath, but it also has to do with our word. Right. So anything that we have to do, and it could even do with your soul. Right. So
spiritum.
Yeah. Spiritum. So that means breath, but that also means the breath of God. And so if you look in Genesis 1, he talks about the breath of God was hovering over the waters, and that is his being. That is his consciousness. Right. So that is all of us right now, and intertwined together in this quantum entanglement. We have your pineal gland that it connects us all to one another, but that is your consciousness, right? So that's your spirit, and all the things with the masks and covering your spirit is 96% of our non-verbal communication comes from our face. And so I can only see your eyes. I don't know what the world you're saying, right? So that's another connection. So all these things, and I just had this epiphany this morning, and I was like, thinking back, going over to Thaddeus's house just this weekend, and then thinking about all hugging for me was very hard. So if we could skin to skin contact, hug a person, what would that do? Because that's information, right? So we can't see each other. We got all these barriers of clothing. All of our ancestors or the indigenous people of the United States, what did they walk around in, right? Like if we look at the pictures, so all these things are disconnecting us. So that goes into naturalis, which is all about how we commune and live within nature or get back to nature and be in alignment with the sky clock, as Crow talks about, right? So sky clock would be the sun and the moon. And that also has to do with the aspect of our masculine and feminine. And tomorrow from Primal Hacker, she, Thaddeus's wife, that was a big aspect that she taught me about how to honor the divine feminine in my wife when we get into an argument, right? So this all that falls in the alignment of natural outs and spiritum. So it's like, how, if I'm going to have this conversation with my wife and it's heated, how can I allow her to remain in her divine feminine, and how can she allow me to remain in my divine masculine? So all of those things are correlated. So whether you're living in this unnatural home because it's square, doesn't align with the Fibonacci sequence, what can you do in your home to make that energy higher vibration, right? And so then we go into alimentium, and that's all about nutrition. And so alimentium is just the, if you think of it in an alchemic property, right? So it's the small little pieces of everything that equate to that whole or whole equation, right? So in alimentium, we have, we'll look at macronutrients, say, right? But where, more importantly, does your food come from? we have a local farmer that we work with, and I was like, I'm going to set up another drop-off site here at my house, and I have to get people on board. And he's like, just tell them about the vibration of their food, that the food that they get in the supermarket is dead. I was like, what a great way to put that.
Wow, yeah. Right? That's good.
And so I was like, so that has to do with nutrition. So those are the big reasons, because they meant so much to me, and they spoke about all these root words and the prefixes, right? So every word is made up of three parts, and all of them have different meanings on how we put them together. So if you look on my website, Reiki Manis, and the way that I took the word and broke it apart, that's because I want people to see that there's more part to the word, and there's more part to a human. There's more part to this world. We are not this like duality that we think about. It's all this singular aspect that we really got to kind of understand and move forward with. And that's what being a primal person, an ancestral person is, or living paleo or whatever it is, right? Like, how do we jump back and forth right now in and out of this realm of being attached to all this technology and still staying sovereign? Because I believe we can do that, because it is the matrix after all.
I love it, man. I think maybe it's the circles I'm rolling in, but I think we're seeing a lot more of a return to a respect for natural law, a respect mm-hmm. for logic, and the old, what used to exist before quote unquote science, because there is, I still think if you're following the scientific method, I think there's definitely some value there. But just like if you look at all of the things that are taught in the trivium and the quadrivium, all of the things that are in the classical education, which I happen to just by chance end up at Columbia University. I didn't even know who they were. They recruited me for football and I didn't even know who they were. And I got this classical education.
So you got that. Yeah, you got
them. I got
the good stuff.
I got what people are like, the top crust is sending their kids over there.
Yeah.
And they're not talking to you about marketing classes. Like, I can talk to someone who's 40 years older than me, who graduated, in the 70s. And we studied the same things. We both read
curriculum.
Yeah, we both, had contemporary civilization. We both had literature humanities, art humanities, music humanities, and like this return to logic brings such a greater understanding that this whole scientism thing is starting to crush. Mm-hmm. And I personally see that's starting to balance it out a little bit, because people are just like, wait, no, clearly what you're saying is clearly wrong, not demonstrated. And how do you know that? By using logic.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So.
Yeah. We live in this time frame, essentially, if we look at the groups that are the circles that we're in, right? The reason that we believe or think the way that we think is, one, I have this idea of thought, well, your pineal gland is not calcified because A, you're trying to eat well, you're trying to live more naturally. And so all these individuals that unfortunately fall prey to this occulting are living unnaturally. They're eating foods that are highly processed. They're living in homes that are highly chemical and no feng shui to them, right? They're listening to people, news, all those things that are just literally bombarding themselves all the time. And then they're living in this past timeline of trauma that they can't get out of. Right? So I have family members that are there, and that's their thing, and they try. And that's okay. Like, I would rather, this is all about my, and I don't want to sound selfish, but this is my journey. And if I can't do this healthy journey and use logic to show and demonstrate how it's working for me, but you use right now, a lot of people are using anger and just double speak and overcome. talking. You know, I was watching this video with my son last night, and we were just looking at it to break it down because they were talking about sex and gender. And I was like, let's watch this. We'll use the Socratic method, and then you and I will discuss this. But they, you know, like, and then we took the etymology of those two words today, and we broke that down a little bit more.
That's a good one for natural law. That's a really good one.
Mm-hmm. And he's 16 years old. He just turned 16, and he wrote a paper on socialism, and it just blew my mind the words that he was writing about. I was like, okay, well, just take this a little bit deeper, because when you get into a conversation with somebody and you're trying to stand your ground and you're trying to use the Socratic method, you can't do that logically if all you have is your morals and ethics. You need some points to tell them, okay, this is why I believe this is, and this is backing it up, right? So that falls under trivium as well, because the Socratic method is a big part of that. And I wasn't taught that in school. No. I grew up in West Texas, and literally, guess who was president right then? George Bush Jr. There was no child left behind. So that was essentially the beginning of common law, or not common law.
That was me too.
Common core.
Yeah. That was that.
I didn't get too much of common core, but I was like in high school at the time.
With no child left behind.
What year is that?
2000 to 2008.
Yeah.
Yeah. That was high. It literally started in 1997, because I remember when they started making all these changes in high school.
Yeah, I remember that.
We had to start reading these books every day, and then we had to take tests on them.
It was the testing that really stepped up. Yeah. I was the first year. Well, here we're in Florida, so I was the first FCAT, Mehmed. Like, where it was like, remember, we would always have the FCAT, but it was never...
It was like a nice to know thing.
Yeah, it was like a nice to know thing. And then the year, right, my year was that first year where it was like, okay, no, this is going to be, we're taking this serious. It's like funding. The SAT, and it's for funding, right? And they were taking it serious. Like, everybody's FCAT scores had to be a certain thing to pass.
I remember that in high school too. Luckily, I played sports, so I kind of got like a, a free ticket.
You know? Oh yeah, me too. I was a dancer, so like I didn't even go to senior year. I was like, I have a competition, guys. It's fine.
I blew my knee out.
Yeah, I'm like, it's fine. I don't have time. It's good.
I missed 56 days of school my senior year.
Oh my gosh!
I blew out my knee, so it was like that was
wow. That's
wow.
Okay, I hurt myself. I couldn't get out of bed this morning. It was so slow up. So, you know, that's what was my thing, but. I still graduated with a 4.0.
Oh yeah, me too. I had AP. I was like, yeah, it wasn't hard.
No,
it was very difficult. I mean, granted, I felt like all my time was wasted. I don't remember anything. I'm just really good at memorizing and dumping information, and I'm also a people pleaser.
She is.
So it's me. Like, let me get these good grades.
That's why I'm here. I'm here to protect her.
My mom.
But you know what, dude? Yeah. Like, I've been like historically the one to be like, that's my wife, no. Mm-hmm. And now she's starting to kind of step into her own.
Oh, boundaries? Yeah, I don't have any.
But then.
I don't. That was not a thing for me growing up.
Sometimes.
What's that?
Yeah, but sometimes now lately it's like to the point where I'm like, I got this. Let me get this. Like, you know, because she's like, she's on it, and I'm just like. Maybe I should get this. Let me get this.
Oh, yeah. You mean like, oh, yeah, I can be.
Because you talk about, tell him what you, because I think maybe if you want to, like what you talk about how things are received from you versus the way they're received from me. Because I think there's something to that.
Well, I honestly think it's just even from a natural law standpoint, like I even see it with my two boys, right? And you would know because you said you have one boy, but how many kids do you
have? I have four kids, and I have three boys and one girl.
Oh wow, yeah. So you know the boys, and I grew up with all girls, so it's been a learning experience for me on how to handle boys versus being a girl, and they don't respect me as much as they do Danny. It's just it's not the same, you know. And so when I exercise my breathing freedom, it's not the same. And that's why it's like we need the men. Like I have a thing right now. I'm like, oh, come on, like the guys, like we need the men to stand up. Like that's why we're in this situation. And so, you know, we can't just have me, you know,
I just get labeled, right? Like the crazy woman, right? So it's like, yeah, I just think it's like just coming from a man, it's different. I don't know. It just is. Mm-hmm. It's more people, it's more authoritative, I guess.
Yeah. Well,
you're going to get killed for that. I mean, like, it's
not authoritative.
No, I don't want to. We all have authority. We're all equal. Blah, 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 blah. All that
stuff. Like, yeah. We're all equal, as in we all matter, but there are definitely different roles that we are meant to have. And I think it works beautifully together when they're both being, you know, played out in the way that they're supposed to, right? Like, I love how you were mentioning, you know, like, even when you get into an argument with your wife, like, how can I still allow that, right? And she allows that male energy as well, you know?
Yeah.
And that's something I've actually had to learn big time, because I grew up with a lot of like that new age feminist stuff. And it can be like, it's demeaning to men, basically, you know, like it's like, oh, men are the worst.
And it's torturous to women.
Well, there's a big part of it. That's it is honoring the spirit of that person. And then the vibration aspect of it. So I learned this at our, Spirit of Nature retreat with Primal Hacker recently, and they were talking about adult childhood issues that they're generational, right, and how they show up. And it dawned on me that day that the things that I constantly nag my oldest son about, you know, cleaning up after himself, just honoring
it doesn't get better.
Like taking care of his things.
Yeah.
And because that shows that he's taking, he loves himself, cares for himself.
Right.
You know, and then I realized that when I was sitting there, that all these micro traumas that I'm causing this kid, they were exactly the same BS that I grew up with. And I happened to grow up like with a single mother. So all the things that I learned were feminine. And so I wasn't really able to become or come into my divine masculine until all the shit hit the fan with our marriage. And I had to learn how to be a father, how to be a masculine individual. And so the way I did it was through anger, because I didn't know any other way.
Right.
And so I got into the obstacle course racing because it was an outlet for my anger, because I could run, I could exhaust myself. But then I didn't really realize the catch 22 is that when I was exhausted, I was even more of a jerk, right? So how did I learn all this balance? It was just like that whole testing of fire and getting to where I'm at now. And I mean, I'm kind of a stay-at-home dad, essentially, where I'm doing all my work here, teaching my kids, and my wife has a full-time job because they never closed. And so that was also this shift for us too, was how do I feel masculine when I'm at home doing all of these non or masculine things? I'm not going to call them feminine things, like, because men cook, men take care of things.
Oh yeah.
And then in the indigenous tribes, they would have men that would not go out on the hunt, and they would talk, and those are just like a different soul level. That was what he resonated with. So we'll just honor that. Didn't mean he was feminine, didn't mean anything. He just dug like making food and making clothes. And then sometimes he'd go out and kill stuff. I mean, that was the thing. So there's two sides to everything, and we're finding that right now. So it's a balance, and we can hop in and out of one to other. That doesn't mean that we're non-binary or all these other kind of great terms. It is just like we're freaking human, and that's what humans do. So that's where we're at in our relationship. Is like she finally gets that too, because she was feeling overwhelmed and feeling like she was doing the masculine thing, and I was like, no man, that's just a way to make currency. It doesn't mean doing anything that's masculine because you work. You know, it's not like you're, I know some of my prep cooks way back in the day, and they were super masculine, and they could do more things that I could do. Like, breaking down cows and like wrestling cows and all these things that like they were more masculine than I was in some effects, but they were still super feminine. And like, I just had to honor that. And like, we've just been told that these group sets are masculine, right, and these group sets are feminine. And then if you can't label yourself some pronoun, that you can't fit in a group, even though it's inclusive.
Yeah. It's all putting us in a box. It's all putting us in a box. And I'm with you there too, because there are some things that like I'm naturally just good at that maybe mm-hmm. Danny might not be. And it doesn't necessarily make him less masculine, nor does it make me more masculine. Like, for example, I feel like I could put together anything, like a bed. I'm very crafty. I'm just very crafty. I like to work with my hands. Like I used to sew my kids' clothes. My brain, that's how my brain works. And it makes sense to me, if you think about it. Like I'm very like math and you're more like, oh, history and philosophy. I'm like, yeah, but those two.
Yeah.
It's certain.
I told that to my wife the other day. I said, Joe, I just want you to do a little role play with me here. Imagine that I'm dead. And you have to she's getting a real estate license. You have to transition from the job you're in now to that real estate. What are you going to do? Because I'm not here. And so she started going down this path, but it was all like the things that I was here still. And I had to like rewind her and like, okay, you're going to have to do these certain subsets of things and still remain feminine to do that. How are you going to do that? And then I said that, how are you going to remain feminine? How are you going to do this without me and all the things that I have done? It was like, whoa, okay, that's where the sovereignty piece comes in. Now I have to be this responsible human, because as a partner group, we had certain roles that we just picked up because that's what we picked up, not because they were gender specific. Right. That's what we just picked up. You know?
So true. So, well, I love that we're on this topic. It's kind of a good segue because, you know, we always love getting into the subjects of parenting. We love it. And, you know, when it comes to, you know, parenting, education and health with the kids, what has been your approach, you know, in all of these areas, and what relationships, if any, do they have to each other in your home?
Like parenting, education and health. Yeah. Like how do they?
Yeah. Like because, you know, we unschool too. I mean, our kids are now, you know, getting something else, but you know, it's like even with the nutrition, like that's education is part of that. It's like leading with that education and stuff. So
the whole aspect of the education part in the home is that I just realized this year is like I did everything for everybody. I just put it into your life, right? And it just became part of what you were doing. So it wasn't really different. Especially in the nutrition aspect, our oldest two, that's why I said we had all of this unhealthy stuff to unravel with our personal health with our third child. And so our oldest two had all of this patterns and cravings engraved in them already. So that was a re-education aspect. And then they have freedom now, so they can eat whatever they want. So, but I just constantly keep doing the things that I want to do that I know are healthy, and that shows them. And they can come along if they want, because I'm kind of past the whole micro-trauma aspect of it. This is your journey. I'm responsible for your soul up until a certain age when you become enlightened. And then, you know, with the educational piece at home, or specifically school, when I was competing and traveling, my children were homeschooled and they learned on the road with me by helping other people and experiencing those individuals, and they learned from them. Yes. And then they went into the whole Russian school system again, and I really saw this disservice to my daughter the most, because her last senior year, she had the hardest time, right, with the whole 2020, I'm not going to even say the word,
right,
but that whole thing affected her. And then she had was introduced to psilocybin and didn't have a person sitting with her. It's had a very bad trip, which really affected her moving forward. Kishardi had been skewed to be leaving one way, and then the dad trauma comes up, and he's trying to teach and lead one way. So he had this really big crash. And now as she gets into college and she's free to do whatever we want, now she's come back on the same page. And we literally have had the most amazing conversation. So it's kind of this ebb and flow at home. Wow. But I have to allow them to experience whatever they're going to do. I can't get upset about it. All I can say is, with like my wife's health, is like, hey, you know what? Let's go see Dr. Ed because he's a naturopath. Because you've had XYZ, this is showing up. Let's just go do all these tests and see, you know, and we're going to do this the natural way. We don't have a general practitioner. Well, we do. He's also a paleo doctor, if you will. Oh, awesome. Dr. Sean O'Mara. He's been on. Dr. Sean Baker's. So he's a friend of mine.
Yeah, that's great.
And so he's the first guy that I met in Minneapolis, and I've worked for him. I've traveled the U.S. working for him with football players and cancer patients. So I've got to experience all these things, and that's the educational piece that I teach my children, is just by doing. And by doing. I do my research, but I throw myself into something, and I'm the experimental piece. And if it's not working for me, and when I was really into all the lab tests and everything, you know, then I would do that. But now I'm past all that stuff. So the educational piece with my children is just is doing and showing, not preaching. And just as today, my 11-year-old drove to Florida with me for the mastermind with Thaddeus. 3 days in the car. He had to listen to nothing but Crow podcast all the way down.
That's amazing.
So I love it. He writes I made them write an essay or a research paper and on any topic they wanted. And so he was researching sharks. And then he was saying, well, they can tell how old they are by the rings on their vertebra. And I was like, oh, like a tree. And he's like, yeah, well, I got it from Wikipedia. So, you know, that's probably not true. I was like, wow, like I never even said that. Like, he's picking up those things. I've reiterated some of those things and just not talking to them about it. But they are sponges. And so they're going to pick up on what we are vibrating, and I'm really trying not to live in this like trauma world and be like, oh, you got to be afraid of XYZ.
Yeah.
It's like, maybe what do you think about that logically? Like what you talked about. So what do you think about? And I'll have them give me their piece on it. So that's the educational aspect at home.
I feel like we need to get there a little bit more. Now that my boys are getting older, you just hit me when you said not preaching. Like, I don't want to do that. I feel like we do that sometimes. And I feel like we probably naturally all do it as parents. We just have to, that's something that we have to be catching ourselves. Because I don't want them to just be an echo chamber of me, you know? Yeah. I want them to really understand and make those decisions for themselves. So yeah, we've told the boys, we're like, even don't even believe what I say. Go investigate, you know, always investigate. So I love that you have those conversations.
My daughter said that same thing. She was like, I don't even know what to believe because you don't know what you believe. And I was like,
that's amazing.
I said, you're right. I don't. But they really know.
They do kind of just repeat, because they also hear, like, Danny and I, we have a lot of conversations, you know, and so they'll hear us talking.
And that's the thing, though.
And like, I have to catch myself. Like, sometimes I'm like, man, I don't know if this is like too much. Not for my oldest. My oldest is very woke. But
I'm very curious. Very, very curious.
And he's very curious.
And he wants to know. And like, we have to.
He's very simple, though. Like, for him, it's easy. I don't know. He's just, you know, like those kids that are just, if it's wrong, it's wrong. Like, it's like, that's it. It's the rule. Like, it's wrong.
That's my 15-year-old. He's pretty much
simple
that way. Cut and dry.
And then they don't understand. Like, it really hurts them when things are not just, because they don't get it. Thing. Yeah, that's the hardest part. Like, whenever anyone's mean to him, he's just like, why? Like, just why, though? You know?
You can't have good without bad.
Yeah, exactly.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, so. and like, you know, every talent or specific thing that you have comes with its own like curse or whatever you want to call it. Because like with him, he's so good to people. You know, he's so considerate.
Good. He is.
And like, and so for him, like, his biggest thing is going to be understanding that he's not going to stop doing it. I'll tell you that. Like, that's just how he's wired. But mm-hmm. he needs to understand that and his brother, I think, was put here for that reason. Gosh. That's what his brother's here
his
for.
His brother, for real. His brother really tests him. And I have to, like, get on my little one. Like, you are manipulating your brother. Mm-hmm. Like, you're taking advantage, you know, because my little one is fire. So he's the one to smell it, you know? Like, he's like, ha-ha. You know, like, I'm going to get you to do what I want.
That's a big thing about now in this time frame is this age of knowing. And it's a karmic exchange. So you reap what you sow.
Yeah.
And the biggest, I literally turned down a client. I had worked with her for years previous, and she wanted to work with me for a short amount of time. And I was like, yeah, we could do that. And then I did this root work. If you could see it on my Telegram page, I was cupping my abdomen, and there's a big release that I had, and I was up all night, like literally, and I realized, it was that exchange of energy. And then once I realized that and I put a finger on it, all the anxiety went away and I fell asleep. And so I got up the next morning and I texted her and I'm like, hey, like, we can't do this, but I do love you. And I do know that you're a beautiful human being and that you don't need my help. And because everything moving forward, beautiful. It will be that exchange, because if I gave that exchange of energy the same way, I would keep perpetuating that cycle.
Yeah.
And I don't want that anymore. So it's just that awareness of your son. And I think that children are more aware than we give them credit for.
Oh, for sure.
She was an extra aware person when she was a child.
I feel like like old soul is a real thing. I 100% you know, and that's like where I kind of even like when I really want, like if I like that whole thing with the babies the other day,
yeah.
That puts me in the rabbit hole sometimes. Cause I'm like, what if old soul is like, I don't know. It's like, it's weird, but I was that person. I just,
and Dean is that
even
person.
When I was young, I always just felt like I knew what everybody was, you know, like how adults like pretend like you don't know what they're talking about. I always knew what they were talking about. I was like, I know what you're talking about.
Yeah,
I never said anything.
That's something I've been thinking about a lot lately, and I spoke with the master instructor for rebirthing breathwork for an hour or so, and we were talking about the multiple lives that you've lived, and so the trauma that you carry perhaps isn't now from this one, but it is from lifetimes that you've had before, and they just attach themselves to you because the experiment of having the mouse smell almond extract and then scaring it, that and keep doing that over and over, that mouse, once it breeds, the offspring will have the same effect to the smell of almond, right? So those things are DNA.
Yeah, it's carried on.
Mm-hmm. So, and their lifetime, like their lives. So if we are these wonderful light beings that can come down and go back up by choice, then literally we're carrying those things with us because we keep forgetting where we were.
Wow.
You know? So.
Oh, dude. Sorry, were you going to say something?
I was just going to say, like, that's like that epigenetic, I don't want to turn around because then they yell at me for myself.
Oh, the frog thing?
They're like, stop turning away from the mic. like the epigenetic marks that Dr. Anthony J talks about that go on for generations.
Four generations. It was the exposure to plastic for this one frog that went four generations. So we know that it's a permanent mark now. It is it is permanently on the DNA of that line.
Yeah. Oh man! And you imagine all the stuff people ingest now.
Whew. Yeah, so our grandfather was in our great great grandfather was World War One. Next grandfather World War Two. Right. So those things, and then my mom was super. Like had a lot of trauma, and that was I did a rebirthing on my own, and that was the thing that I saw, man. You could hear it in the womb, yelling, I hate you, all those things, right? And I had to rebirth myself, and it was a beautiful thing. And now, I put away all those animosity for those two beings that brought me here.
Yeah. Well,
so you got to do that work.
Yeah.
You got to do the work. Like you got to work. Yeah. Well, dude, let tell us about, besides the podcast, what else you got going on, and where can people find you? Give us all the places where people can find you, because now he's on a different level.
Well, so I'm soon heading out to another state. I'm not going to say where that state is, but I can tell you it's corrupt as hell. Just like Minnesota. But I'm heading out there to help an individual open up a coffee shop that's similar to Bulletproof. So I'm going to head out there for a couple months, but I'm going to still keep doing all of this work and working with individuals. And right now, so when all of this hit, I really had this, and I've wanted to get off social media before that, because it just in a gut, it wasn't jiving with me. So I got off of Instagram. They wouldn't delete my account, so it's still there. They wouldn't delete my Facebook, so it's still there. So, wow. But I deleted most of the content that I could. I just don't want to have that presence that they can manipulate, which they still are.
Yeah.
So, but I'm on Telegram now. So it's Ray Humanis. That's Re-Humanis. And then you can find my website through there. It is a blockchain website, so it's decentralized and through Unstoppable Domains. It's rayhumanis.crypto. So nice. You just have to download the Unstoppable browser, and then you can search it there. Basically, it's just this splash page so you can contact with me. Again, I have some of my work. It's up on Primal Hacker, some of the blog posts there, some of my Instagram posts through Primal Hacker. And I'll be working more and more with Thaddeus coming up, especially doing the podcast. We got to get that launched. And so, yeah, you can contact me by email. You can get a hold of me through Telegram. And that's probably where I'm going to stay for now, because there's enough of my imprint out there, and I'm trying to erase it as much as I possibly can.
I know.
So that won't happen, but, you know, that's my calling. That's what I was, that was my gut feeling. And, you know, as you saw on the 6th, how they manipulated people that just had a belief.
Yeah.
Oh yeah.
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 So, right.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yep. So yeah, that's how you can get in contact with me. And I'm going to keep, I'm going to also be taking the Buteyko Master Breathing courses and rebirthing courses as well to be a master instructor in rebirthing breath work. So I also already teach Hyperpressive, which was created by Pity Pin Sosh and Tomorrow Rial. It's a pelvic floor work, but it has a lot of spiritual work that goes along with it as well. And then I've done Wim Hof Fundamentals. And so I created my own stuff called Primal Breath Flow. Actually, I see it on it as our Rebel Breath Flow, because it's just everything against the mainstream. So if people want to know about nutrition, living in harmony with Sky Clock, and want some breath work so you can transcend all this BS.
I love it.
Yeah.
Awesome.
Well, dude, thanks.
I'm
for
on that Telegram,
on,
by the way. I'll put that. We'll put that.
Yeah,
link.
I sent
we'll
you.
We'll put all those links.
Yeah,
no, I'm in it. I joined it. I'm in it.
Yeah, and I'm also gonna add the Spiritual Sovereignty article from Primal Hacker.
Oh, cool.
And if there's anything else that you want me to add, I'll put it in the notes. Yeah.
Okay.
But we got your main links. We'll put all those, like the ones that you just talked about, but like anything random.
I'm working on creating. I made this 130-page book like 5 years ago. It's still relevant now with all of the biohacking or living natural, but I'm going to create it in an NFT, a non-fungible token, through the Ethereum platform. So you'll be able to buy it for 0.0333 Ethereum, which is like $6.
But, that's great.
Yeah,
that's great.
So, but you'll be able to get that through Telegram as well. There'll be a link to that.
Okay, perfect.
Check that out. And then the podcast, I'll put up that link once we get all that
nice.
Going.
Cool. Awesome.
Well, thank you, brother.
I really appreciate you guys having me on. This was amazing.
Yeah, it was our pleasure, awesome. Man.
Our
great
pleasure.
Conversation.
Yeah.